The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hi, this is John Giss, the frontman for the band Electric City, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
Everyone, welcome back to Youth Ministry Sherpas, episode 40. This is Steve Anderson.
And my name is Matthew McCabe, and we are the Youth Ministry Sherpas, and we're trying to help youth workers to keep going.
How's it going, everyone?
All right. Welcome back, Steve. Here we are.
It's a snow day here in Maryland today.
Goodness. What a weekend. You guys didn't have church yesterday,
did
you?
We didn't have services this weekend. No.
Yeah, we had nothing yesterday, even the evening, which... You know, you think would be a great thing. Like, hey, snow day. Remember those days as a kid? Like, you couldn't wait till they canceled school. Like, canceling church just doesn't feel good at all.
No, especially when you're in week two, you know, of your new calendar year as far as the youth ministry goes. You need some momentum.
Absolutely.
And then you don't even meet. And we might not meet next week because they're calling for another storm.
Yeah, they're saying this one could even be bigger.
Which would be a problem.
They lose their mind around here. I can't even imagine. We were supposed to have a... Peru kickoff, you know, informational missions trip meeting,
right.
And people were so excited about it, and I was so excited, and then wah, wah, wah. I mean, it's just terrible.
You Wisconsin boys, you think we're all wimps around here, which is true.
I do laugh I laugh a lot at how this area, I mean, I read the text I get from Montgomery County that comes out, a major winter event is coming, like, 6 inches is not that's a Tuesday in Wisconsin.
Well, I'm a Western Pennsylvania boy, so I kind of agree with you. Like, when we were growing up,
it's just normal.
Yeah, we had school. I don't remember school being canceled that often.
No, I went to the grocery store on Saturday, you know, before the impending storm, because we had to get some other stuff. And then we walked in, and I told my wife, in solidarity, we will not buy milk, bread, or toilet paper. I'm not walking out of here with any of those things and being a stereotypical Marylander.
Walking into the grocery store before a winter storm in Maryland is like waking up in the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, my gosh.
People are just freaking
out. They lose their mind.
You can get trampled in the parking lot.
Now, it did turn in. And a lot of times the problem is like just the threat of it around here does that. And then nothing happens.
Right.
But we did actually get snow.
We did, yeah.
And we have almost a foot at my house.
Okay. Wow. You got more than we did.
Yeah, we were, it was.
We only got like 4 or 5 inches.
Oh, yeah. We get 4 or 5 Saturday night into Sunday.
Okay.
Cleaned that up. Then there was a nice little lull. And then all of a sudden last night dropped another 6 inches all of a sudden.
Huh.
So right back out there this morning.
Okay. I was out this morning. I was walking my dogs around the block. It was fun. They love the snow.
Do they? Oh, yeah. My dogs were out while I was shoveling this morning for the whole time, just running around like crazy people.
Yeah. It was pretty icy, though. This is why they canceled school today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I was glad I could make it around the loop without
falling down.
Falling down, breaking my neck.
Yep.
Which could happen.
I made it through both shoveling incidences with no time on my keister. So, I consider that a win.
Though I am going to call the chiropractor today.
Yeah, you're going to feel that, right?
Uh-huh. So, we are back with episode 40, and we're kind of following up to last week's episode and leading into next week's episode.
A little three-part episode.
A three-part series, more or less, not really.
Kind of, sort of.
So, our theme as we start the year is that we want to get to this point next year, 2020, and still be in youth ministry. Still be going strong.
And ultimately, we'd like you to get to this point in 20 years, in 2040, and still be going strong in youth ministry, because we're here to help youth workers keep going.
2040.
I know. Doesn't that sound weird when I said that?
So ridiculously old.
I don't even want to think about what I'll be in 2040.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyway, so we talked last week about burning out and sort of how to maybe avoid that and what are the signs to look for there. This week, we want to talk about falling down, which is another way that can sidetrack a youth worker from being able to keep going.
Yeah. That's not good, falling down.
No.
It results in injury.
It results in lots of bad things.
Loss of life.
Yes.
Loss of limb.
When you fall down.
Yeah.
And we thought about this in several ways. Obviously, the first way most people think about when you think about falling down is in ministry, you think about moral failure.
Yeah, and there's so many stories. All you got to do is go out and Google youth pastor moral failure. Just Google youth pastor.
Yeah, and actually, let me encourage you not to do that because it's
discouraging.
It's discouraging and it's sad because story after story plays out. We had one play out in our area not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. There was a youth pastor in our area who had a relationship with a student and ended up actually going to prison for a couple of years.
I mean,
cool.
Yeah, you read these stories, and again, most of us, when we see those stories or we read those stories, we think that will never happen to me.
Right.
But I guarantee you that everybody it happens to probably thought that at one point in time. You don't wake up one day and decide to have a relationship with a student and end up in prison. It happens over lots of little decisions.
Right.
And so how do we keep ourselves from falling down in that way, Steve? How do we keep ourselves from those moral failures that we see too often in the news?
Yeah, that's probably a 20-part episode, but we're gonna cover it just in a few minutes today. I think the number one thing is nobody has a moral failure if their personal relationship with the Lord is strong. You know, I heard somebody say, if you are in the Word of God every single day, you will not fall down.
Mm.
And I think that's true.
Yeah.
You know, if your relationship with the Lord is strong and you are cultivating that and you are, you know, you're listening to His voice and spending time with God on a consistent, deep, intimate level, then this isn't going to happen to you.
Right. If you read those stories or you follow any of those stories of those moral failures, it's almost without fail that one of the things they talk about is I had wandered from my own faith. I had kind of drifted away from the Lord, which then opens that door to all kinds of bad decisions, which then can lead to the worst of decisions, which could cost you your career, but potentially
much more than that,
your family, your life. You go to prison for a few years, man. That's a pretty high cost.
And, yeah, not to mention the damage that you cause in your wake. But this kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week because, you know, when you are burning out, when you're kind of distancing yourself from God because you're so busy or whatever, you're not taking care of yourself, you put yourself in that position where you are now tempted.
You're tempted to make, again,
fragile,
small compromises that eventually become normal that lead to larger compromises, which can eventually lead you to being arrested or fired.
We had a member of our staff who went through this, had a moral failure, you know, a few years back, and loved this guy dearly. But what happened was his life was kind of frantically busy for a time, and there were lots of things going on that kind of drew him away from his wife and made him too busy, you know, too busy, quotes, for God, and it found himself in this position. So it's like you said, it's a little step at a time, but you got to stay close to God. I think that's the number one thing. It's the top priority of being in ministry.
Absolutely. Another thing we thought about is to help guard against this moral failure is just be connected to your own family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're married, to be connected to your husband or to be connected to your wife. If you have children, to be connected to them, your fiance, somebody you're in a relationship with, your extended family, but to stay connected. We had a situation in our church not long ago where there was a failure there, and in conversations it was because of some just difficulties they were having in their own marriage that then led this person down a road that eventually cost him his job and his career. And so when there's struggles, and there's always going to be struggles. I mean, Steve, you've been married how long?
I've been married for 30 years.
Yeah, and I've been married for 23 years, and it's absolutely amazing and wonderful and in so many ways. But it hasn't been easy.
No,
you
not
know,
always.
Raising four kids, there's been difficult times. Mm-hmm. And when there's difficult times, they have to be addressed. And I think too often, again, in the busyness of ministry,
you find yourself drifting away.
Yeah, and we can push those things aside. Oh, we'll deal with them later. We'll deal with them later. And then it opens the door to moral failure.
Yeah. So those are the two key relationships, I think, that exist with your family and with the Lord that need to be cultivated on a daily basis. You know, if your accounts are getting too long, if you haven't spent some time with your husband or your wife, or you haven't taken time to hang out with your kids or connect with your good friends or spend time just alone with God, you're setting yourself up for just the potential. Just the potential. It's not necessarily true, of course, but just you're putting yourself in a fragile place. You're out on the edge of the limb, and you've made yourself vulnerable.
Right. And so maybe today, maybe it's been a few days, maybe it's been a few weeks since you've really had some really intimate time with God, that you've really set aside some time to spend some time with Him and cultivate your relationship with Him. Maybe today you need to do that. Mm-hmm. Maybe right now, you, as soon as this episode is done, you need to sit down and do that. Maybe you need a date with your husband or with your wife. Maybe you need to schedule some time.
Do you date your wife?
I do. I do.
What's your pattern for that?
We don't necessarily have a pattern. We're still with the kids at home. We're not locked into a specific pattern. We're just super intentional of trying to find any moment that we can in the midst of sort of, you know, managing kids' swim meets and travel schedules and whatever else it is.
Your dates are not on the bleachers at the swim meet?
Well, no, but they are. You know, they are. Again, you know, our kids go to college about an hour and a half away, and so if we're going to go to their swim meet, that gives us an hour and a half in the car. So we say, hey, let's not listen to music or whatever. Let's just, here's our topic of conversation. And we kind of try to pick a topic. And so try to maximize those moments. We're getting closer to being able to have some, you know, more patterned. You know, we go for a lot of walks, you know, a lot of texts.
Good.
You know, if it's been a long day, I'll get a text from my wife that says, hey, how about we put the headlamps on and hit the trail behind our house after dinner tonight?
Because we
don't have anything going on. Yep, absolutely. Got to stay connected.
Nice.
You got a pattern?
We do. We started this. I had a sabbatical 7 years ago. And one of the things we did coming out of that sabbatical is we started date night. And we go on a date. It's every other Monday. Sometimes it's Tuesday. Sometimes the pattern gets interrupted. And now that the kids are out of the house, sometimes there's another date in there too, you know, more frequently. But no, that's been a pattern that we...
Every Monday? That's crazy.
No. Well, yeah. And so, yeah, we make that a priority. And I think that's been incredibly helpful for us. It's a little expensive, but it doesn't have to be.
Doesn't have to be. You can get creative.
Our favorite Mexican place where the margaritas are $1.99 on Mondays. But anyway. So those date nights have been awesome.
Yeah. So be intentional with your relationship with God, obviously, not to over-spiritualize it, but that's just the reality. And be intentional with your spouse or with your family. Because again, a moral failure, it could cost you your ministry, and that'd be a terrible thing, but it could cost you your family, which would also be a devastating thing.
Yeah. So if you're struggling in those areas, find somebody to talk to about it. You know, reach out to a friend, reach out to your spouse or someone that you can trust who can walk you through some of those things and help you get back on the path toward reclaiming those relationships in the proper way.
Absolutely.
Now, the second thing we thought about in terms of falling down is kind of the sense of personal ambition that we've seen occasionally in youth workers, where there's this sense that they think they're a bigger deal than they are. And that
I know I think I'm a bigger deal than I am.
Well, I think you're a bigger deal than I am. You are a bigger deal.
I don't know about that.
We get this sense where we're maybe more mature or more entitled or a bigger deal than we really are. And so the way that plays out, I think, is we end up in conflict with leadership in our churches.
Personal ambition is not necessarily a bad thing.
No, we have a whole episode.
We have a whole episode on the ambitions that we have. But what I think we're seeing a little bit of is maybe a fast track to that ambition. Maybe feeling like we are entitled to something before maybe it's time to be entitled to that thing.
Right.
And again, there's something positive there because there's a hunger there and there's a desire, which I think is great. But there's also a time for everything. And I think if you get fast-tracked, if you're really trying to maybe get some of those things you think you're entitled to before it's time, I think it can lead to being very short-sighted.
Yeah, we live in a culture that wants everything immediately. We want to succeed immediately. Young people want to be financially secure immediately. They want to own a house right away.
Yeah.
They want, you know, we...
All fine things.
But historically, you know, in the timeline of God... This sounds super deep.
That sounds super... We just moved to another level.
I'm about to speak for the timeline of God. But God's timeline is always slower than we think it is. I mean, just read the Bible.
Sure.
Everything happens in a very slow way. And I've been reading this book by Alan Fadling, a guy that we came across at DYM. The book is called Unhurried. And his premise is that Jesus never hurried. And it plays out in lots of ways in life. But just thinking in terms of ministry and ambition, we have to wait until the time is right to kind of assume the next level of authority.
Sure.
And if we think, oh, you know, I've been here for 2 years and the youth ministry is doing great, I deserve everything and I should be preaching every other weekend and, you know, all this kind of stuff, we're going to end up in position of, I don't know,
big ego and conflict with people. Yeah, and you're going to be in conflict with your leadership. And I think in some cases it might cause people to jump ship somewhere.
Yes, that's right.
Earlier than they should. And we've talked at length on this podcast, as do many other podcasts, about the benefits of being in the same location for a long term rather than 18 months here and 2 years there, kind of chasing whatever it is that you're chasing. So it's okay to have those ambitions. It's okay to have those desires, but to sort of trust the process, trust the journey that God has you on. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a friend locally who we kind of went along with in youth ministry for a long time. And boy, he had quite a journey.
He did. He was at his church for 8 or 9 years, and he would preach like every now and then. And he's a pretty good preacher.
He's a good teacher.
And would have been a valuable voice, honestly, for his congregation. And I think it was frustrating to him, and probably not even good, that he wasn't speaking more. But he hung in there. And, you know, expressed frustration, but hung in there patiently. Well, now he's been at the church 12, 15 years.
Oh, yeah, almost 15 years.
He's in a different role in the church. He's now preaching about 50% of the time.
Yeah. And so his desires and his ambitions, they came. They did not come when he wanted them to come.
Right.
And just to watch him sort of, again, wait in that. And we helped him through that, you know, through times. We were sort of a sounding board for him sometime, which I think is a key to kind of have some trusted people in your life that you can kind of wrestle through your ambitions with so that you can have people, you know, encourage you to keep after those ambitions, but also temper your expectations about when you might be able to assume those ambitions. I think that's just healthy.
Because otherwise you're in a position of discontent. And discontent causes you, like you said, to want to move on to the next thing. Well, if they don't appreciate me here, I'm going to go over here. And then maybe you've been 3 or 4 different places in, you know, the first 8 or 10 years of your ministry life. And you've missed what our whole show is about, which is the value of
longevity
and being with the same people in the same place for a long time. I think, you know, you end up falling down because you'd never reach the full potential of investment in a community because you think you're a bigger deal than you are and you want to push for the next thing.
Yeah, and ironically, when you think about it, like, it's all about trusting your leadership, because what you want is you want your leadership to trust you. You're going to assume more responsibility. You're going to assume more authority. You're going to assume more opportunities to do the things you want to do when your leadership trusts you. But that trust is a two-way street. And so to trust them, I'd love to tell you that I agree with every decision that the leadership at my church makes about timing and this and that. And there are often times I have different ideas, but I trust them.
Right.
And so I'm willing to submit that, okay, well, I guess it's not time for that now, and I'm okay with that. And so I trust them. And so—
Yeah, so now, you know, 13, 14 years in— you've earned so much trust in your congregation and among your leadership that you're one of the decision makers, but you've earned that.
I've earned
that. Because you've stayed there and you've been faithful.
And I trusted them and now they trust me.
Yeah.
And so it works out. So trust your leadership where you're at and
prove yourself over a long period.
Prove yourself over time. There's nothing wrong with expressing your desires and your ambitions, but then to trust that they are looking out for your best interest as to when to give you those opportunities, because they want you to succeed as much as anybody does.
Yeah. If you push too hard, you fall down.
That's right.
How's that?
There you
How's
go.
That
if you
for
push too hard, you fall down.
You said you read
something this morning.
Yeah.
Along this
the
topic.
One
what
who hurries slows the plan of God.
Yeah.
And it's been true in my life. I've shared before my story about when I wanted to be a youth pastor when I was in my 20s and didn't get a position, and then spent the next 6 years on a journey to prepare to be a youth pastor and became a youth pastor when I was 35 years old for the first time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I took that slow journey and I didn't like it. I didn't like the pace of it and I was frustrated with God. But I look back and I see how if I had been given that position then, I would have fallen down.
Yeah.
I would not have succeeded. And having been forced to be patient by God and his circumstances was ultimately the best thing for me.
So trust the process, trust the journey God has you on, trust your leadership.
It kind of related to the leadership issue is being willing to submit to the authority in some of the small things.
Yeah, because again, just like we talked about in the first one, the moral failure, most moral failures begin with small decisions. They don't begin with the big decisions that we see in the newspaper
right.
or on the radio. They begin with small decisions. And every church has all kinds of policies. If you have a board of directors at your church, you probably have some policies that you're like, are you kidding me? Because board of directors, they think differently than the pastors do and youth workers do.
They're all about risk management sometimes.
Exactly.
We're usually not about risk management.
Exactly. We have tried over and over to buy a bus or to get a bus at church. Yes. I've for years and years and years, I've wanted a bus. I just want a bus. I drove school bus when I was younger, my first few years in youth ministry. Okay. That was one of my side jobs that I did to help make ends meet as I drove school bus.
You have weird ambitions in life.
And we wanted a bus.
I just want a bus. And get me a bus.
We have this great relationship with this bus company. It's a small, family-run bus company in town. I got to a point where I had him willing to give me a bus.
Wow.
No cost whatsoever. And my board said, no, thank you. For them, it was risk management. It was, we're going to have some youth leader who's tired after a retreat driving the bus home, and then it's going to go off the road, and then we're going to, it's going to sink the church, which is what we asked them to think about. Well, but it's what we asked them to think about because you and I aren't thinking about that.
Right.
We're thinking about how much cheaper the retreat could be for the kid if we had our own bus that we didn't have to pay X amount for this other bus.
I'm just thinking about how I don't have a CDL license, so I'm not driving the bus. So who's going to drive the stinking bus if we buy it?
Well, you have to go get a CDL.
I don't want to get a CDL.
All right. Anyway, that's a long way around saying that the board is at our church. One of the policies that we have is regarding money.
Okay.
They have all these policies for how the offering is collected and how many ushers have to be present when they're counting, and that's all great. Well, they've moved that all the way down the line into student ministry because there's a lot of money that exchanges hands, especially when you're talking international missions trip. We're going to go to Peru this summer. That trip's going to cost $100,000 when it's said and done.
Oh, my word.
With 50-some people going on a $2,000 missions trip, there's a lot of money that's going to come in and out of mine and our high school director and our middle school director's hands over the next. And then you talk about retreats. I mean, retreats are $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 things and at the drop of the hat. So they didn't, and of course, you're probably all familiar with the walking into the church or the youth room and somebody just walks up and hands you an envelope. If you're lucky, an envelope that has money in it. Usually it's a kid that, here's $50. Can you put this towards my retreat?
Loose checks,
And then I used to remember back in the day, I'd come home from church and I'd empty my pockets. I'd be like,
I know.
What is this money? Whose money is this? Because I've lost track.
I got a funny story about that. One time, I couldn't find this person. They had given me a check for a retreat, and I couldn't find the check, so we had to get another check issued. This was like 15 years ago. And I'm like, I have no idea what happened to that money. Thankfully, it wasn't cash, right? But it was a check. A year later, I put on this pair of pants.
No, it's still in there? Are you kidding?
I hadn't worn them since then.
Oh my goodness.
And it was in the pocket of those pants. Like, whoop, there you go.
I have many questions about that. The first and foremost is, do you have enough pants that there are certain pants you only wear once a year?
I have 365 pair of pants.
Anyway, no, I some grandma gave some kid $200 for their missions trip 1 year, and I put it in my pocket, and then I washed it, and then, had to call grandma and ask her to cut another. So our church has come up with a policy. We have a lockbox in the youth room.
Okay.
We are not allowed to receive any money from any parent, student, anything. When they come up and say, you have to do this, nope, there's envelopes over there, write your name on it, what event it's for, put it in the lockbox.
Okay.
And then two people, you know, have to open the lockbox, remove the money, and then sit down and sort through it and apply money to wherever, and then create a deposit slip and then turn that money into our administrative staff, who then runs it into the church budget. It's a pain in the backside to, you know, to find another person and to do all that. But it's a policy we have, and the policy is for my benefit.
Right. It removes the temptation and any accusation that could be made.
Exactly. It's so that nobody can come back and say, like, well, I put $100 in that envelope. Why did you only put $50 in my Peru account? No, dude, you only put 50 in there. I got another person that can verify that. You know, and so
there's other policies similar to that. Sure. There's all kinds of policies about, you know, spending time with students one-on-one.
Driving kids home.
That kind of stuff. And, you know, your church has certain things. My church has certain things. We have fewer than you do. And I'm a natural kind of rebel type who doesn't like to listen to those things.
I actually think that a lot of youth workers end up on that end of the scale where they're just sort of natural, like, we don't need no stinking rules.
Yeah, which kind of comes back to, you know, the previous point, which is when we're at a place long enough, we can begin to speak into some of the policies in a way that will help them make sense, both from this church's point of view and from
a practical how they play out.
Yeah, so I think there's value in that. But yeah, being willing to listen to leadership on some of the things that they're requiring of us, and over time earning a voice into those things so that they aren't hamstringing us.
Sure.
Is a wise, wise thing. Don't be out there on your own as the one who thinks you can do whatever you want, because I've been in that place and that doesn't go well.
No, it usually doesn't go well. And
get your hand slapped.
Not only the policies. I mean, there's policies that your church will probably have. Mm-hmm. It's also just, again, just being thoughtful. Just thinking through, wait, is this a good plan? Like, I'm planning on doing this. Oh, wait, no, this is not a good plan. Because the reality is we have to be thoughtful here, because as opposed to the moral failure way of falling down, i.e. you've done something and gotten caught, and so now you've fallen down. On this kind of stuff, you don't even have to do anything wrong. You just have to be accused or have to be questioned for doing something wrong. And in today's day, in the society we live in right now, an accusation of wrongdoing is probably enough
for
you to fall down. I mean, it's probably enough for you to cost you your job.
Yeah.
And so everything that you can do, whether it be the policies that they already have in place or anything else you think, actually, no, I'm going to do it this way instead of that way, because I don't want there to be any question over this. I don't want anybody to have any room to raise a question over my, you know, integrity or my honesty in anything, whether it be money or dealing with students or anything.
Yeah.
So just to be super thoughtful, because, again, the end goal is to not fall down. Because when you fall down, you don't keep going. You're not still in ministry a year from now. You're not still in ministry 20 years from now. And to us, that's the goal.
Yeah. Well, when I think back to all the things that I could have gotten in trouble for, I'm not talking about nefarious things. That's not that I've done things that were wrong.
These little things.
Yeah, just things that I probably put myself at a risk where it was unnecessary.
Well, unnecessary.
And by the grace of God, I've been spared from any kind of trouble or, you know, anything like that. But man, it makes me think. Well, it makes me think, and it makes me really feel compassion for us as youth workers, because there are so many situations and constant decisions where we could be at risk, even of a situation not of our own making. And it's rough. So the end game, we want to stay up. We want to stay upright.
That's right.
We want to show integrity. We want to be doing this 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and have earned that cash, you know, in the eyes of our congregation, our leadership. So we need to listen.
So, we need to make sure that our relationship with God is solid and we're tending to that. We need to make sure that we're connected with our family so that we can avoid moral failure. We need to trust leadership.
Yep.
We need to trust the journey that God has us on.
Take the long-term vision, stay in this for the long term.
That's what we'd love to see.
So
hopefully this helped.
Yes, and hopefully we're going to get a little bit of break in the weather here so we don't fall down walking the dogs tomorrow, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, so if you missed it, last Thursday, we released a whole new show.
We did.
Sherpa Legends. It's out there.
It is.
If you have not yet had a chance to check that out, please go to our website or any of your podcasting streaming apps and find the Sherpa Legend episode from last Thursday. It's our first Sherpa Legend, and it's absolutely amazing. I'm so excited about the story that you get to hear.
Yes, so check that out. We're going to release one of those hopefully every month, kind of a new addition to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast series.
Yep.
Are we a series?
Sure, let's call it a series. Yeah, why not? So yes, yeah, so we've got that, okay. And then again, we'll be back next week with episode 41, our third part in this little three-part series of taking care of ourselves, making sure that we are still kicking in a year and 10 years and 20 years.
Yeah, we want to make sure that we are rooted in good soil and filling our spirits so that we do not dry up.
That'll be next week. So until then,
Sherpas out.